note to the listener, the sermon on October 26th was not recorded in service, so I'm recording it in the office. So a little bit could be different, but basically the same message. This is from Deuteronomy chapter 6, verses 4 through 9, on the day of family dedication and baptism. And so as we consider the emphasis on family being dedicated to the service of God, let us go back to the book of Deuteronomy in the Old Testament. This is the fifth book in the Bible and the final one of Moses. It describes Moses preparing the nation of Israel to go into the Promised Land after 40 years in the wilderness. Moses reviewed the law given by God, and he led the nation to renew their covenant with God. We might consider today a little bit like a covenant renewal for these families and maybe for all of us. We'll go to what is probably the best known part of Deuteronomy in chapter 6. This section is still used in daily recitation in some traditions, and it is foundational to understanding a right relationship with God. Deuteronomy 6, beginning in verse 4. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Shema Israel, Adonai Eloheinu, Adonai Echad. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength. These commandments that I give you today are to be on your hearts. Impress them on your children. Talk about them when you sit at home and when you walk along the road, when you lie down and when you get up. Tie them as symbols on your hands and bind them on your foreheads. Write them on the door frames of your houses and on your gates. So Moses invited Israel to respond to the Lord with the same fullness of love that the Lord extends to his people. Hear this, Israel. Listen. The Lord, our God, the Lord is one. There are not many gods in Israel. There is only one true God. In the face of the nations with a pantheon of gods, this was an important declaration. There is only one God in whom we trust. We give full allegiance to the one true God. Teach this to your children. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength. This is the greatest commandment in the Bible. That's what Jesus said. There, no other command comes before this one. Love God completely, wholeheartedly. This command was repeated by Jesus when he was asked about what is the greatest command. Matthew, Mark, and Luke all tell us that story. Let me ask you this, when is it easiest to love another person? And I'm not talking about physical attraction. When is it easiest to love someone? Is it when we know that they love us completely? When we understand their love for us? Do you know how much God loves you? If we really understand God's love for us, it is easy to love him. It is easy to worship him alone. It is easy to surrender our life to him. When we love God properly, we align ourselves with our created purpose. God created us to reflect his nature in the world. We are to reflect him. He created us to be his ambassadors in this broken and lost world, broken and lost because of our sin. Oh, we had better teach our children well. Moses was renewing the covenant and reviewing God's commands with Israel. He did not call for a barren legalistic obedience, but obedience that rises out of a relationship of love. Love the Lord with all of your heart, soul, and strength. We started this morning's service with a part of a letter from the Apostle John, 1 John chapter 4, verses 7 through 12. And we learned there that we should love one another because love comes from God. Our love of other people is evidence of our love for God, and we can love Him because He first loved us. How do we know God loves us? Because the Bible tells me so, is what the children's song says. The whole Bible tells us that God loves us. God demonstrated His love in this. He sent His Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. You see, Jesus is the proof. God loved us first. The right response to Him is to love Him. This is why we worship. And it gives us the capacity to love other people. Moses said, "These commandments that I give you today are to be on your hearts." He was referring to all of the commands. In the previous chapter, we have a list of the Ten Commandments. But all of these hinge on the first and greatest: love the Lord your God with all your heart. John's Gospel in chapter 14, verse 21, quotes Jesus to say, "Whoever has my commands and keeps them is the one who loves me." Our love for God is a spontaneous love, which comes from gratitude and devotion for Him. It is an expression of loyalty. Can this kind of love be taught? Oh, yes, it can be taught, and we better be teaching our children and our grandchildren. Moses said to impress these truths on your children. Talk about them as you go through the day, as you sit home, as you walk along the road, when you lie down, when you get up. Teach your children the truth about God. Maybe we do not even walk along the road much anymore. We tend to load up the Suburban and drive as fast as we can to go to the next function or activity. Perhaps we should slow down and talk to our children. Creatively show them how to love God. Show them God's love in this world. Now, are we commanded here to tie God's command to us as symbols on our hands and our foreheads? Must we attach scripture to our door frames and gates? These certainly are not bad things to do, but I do not think that these mean a literal legalistic following. I also doubt that you put lamb's blood on your doorpost at every Passover. It does mean, I think the application of it for us means that we should build into the structure of our lives events, words, and actions that show our children what it is to love God. We show them and we teach them because God is love. He loved us first. And Moses also knew very well that his people were inclined to be unfaithful, sinful even. And there are several warnings in Deuteronomy. Look at the one directly after the main passage of the lesson. Look at Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 10 through 12. "When the Lord your God brings you into the land He swore to your fathers, to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, to give you, a land with large, flourishing cities you did not build, houses filled with all kinds of good things you did not provide, wells you did not dig, and vineyards and olive groves you did not plant. Then, when you eat and are satisfied, be careful that you do not forget the Lord who brought you out of Egypt, out of the land of slavery." When we are enjoying our wealth and comfortable lifestyle in the land of milk and honey, Do not forget that the Lord has brought us out of the slavery of sin. Do you remember that Jesus said, it is hard for a rich man to submit to God. The more we have, sometimes the more self-reliant we are. We act as though we do not need God. And there are many things that can distract us and weaken our love for God. Sometimes it's pain and tragedy. Sometimes it's victory because we just get too self-reliant. Sometimes it's something like depression, and there are many causes there that just take us into a dark hole. But let us remind ourselves and our children by fervent worship. Now, Israel had their tribes and clans and families, and they had the tabernacle. They had a whole system of priests and an altar on which to sacrifice animals and burn incense. All of that was meant to remind them to love God and serve Him faithfully. We do not have a tabernacle or a temple or a sacrificial system any longer. So what do we have? What do we have to help families today teach their children? Well, we certainly have the Scripture, the Word of God. We have it in every kind of media. We have it at our fingertips, and we have no excuse for not being in the Word of God. And if we are born-again believers, we have His Spirit, the Holy Spirit, to inspire us, to guide us, to move us away from harm. And we have the church. We, under the new covenant put into place by our Savior, have His family, which is the church. We are the bride of Christ. We're the body of Christ. Oh, church, let us be a good village for these children. May God find us faithful. May we be a fortress of protection from the world, a spiritual hospital for the hurting, and a school of learning to love God and trust Him more than anyone or anything else. We help each other walk in faith. And you know that today we have the privilege to enjoy baptism. I see this as evidence that families and the church are coming together to lead their own people to the Lord. So let us celebrate and worship together as we enjoy baptism today.